Quiet Disruptors, Creating Change Without Shouting. Written and read by me, Sue Hetherington. Part 2. New Voices of Curiosity, Creativity and Connection. Fresh Eyes. The real voyage of discovery consists not in finding new landscapes, but in seeing with new eyes. Marcel Proust. Chapter 4. The Case for Curiosity. Once recognised, the quiet yet persistent voice of curiosity doesn't go away. Seth Godin in Tribes. If you listen to Simon Sinek in conversation, you realise he's an unmistakable optimist and an unintentional superstar. Nearly 50 million people have seen his 2009 TED Talk, and his first book, Start With Why, has radically affected leaders and organisations across the globe, and he's genuinely surprised. He's always been curious, interested in trying things out, understanding why people do the things they do. Quickly realising that a career in law wasn't a good fit, he moved into marketing and advertising. Noticing that the same kind of spend on marketing appeared to have different outcomes for different companies, he wondered why. Being the thoughtfully persistent kind of person he is, this had to be pursued and pursued. What were the successful companies doing, especially as their products weren't always that remarkable? It was the second thread of curiosity about the biology of the brain that led Simon to make sense of what he was seeing. His golden circle, painted like a target, with why in the middle, followed by how and what, potentially upended the traditional way of thinking about business and marketing. Perhaps it wasn't about what companies do, nor their particular approach to how they do it, their unique selling point, but why they do what they do that was the differentiator. And this was the issue. Very few knew why. Indeed, only a minority even realised it was a question worth asking. But it took the third step of curiosity to test this out. Would this approach work across the board in different kinds of organisations? Does everyone have to start with why if they're going to be successful? In 2006, Simon closed his marketing strategy business and took the idea on the road, working with anyone who would listen and testing the concept to distraction. But it didn't fail. Instead, it has inspired thousands of organisations and millions of people across the world to discover their why and discover their best way of working. Let us all choose to be the leaders we wish we had, says Simon. It all starts with curiosity. All of the discoveries and inventions we now take for granted started with curiosity. Someone, somewhere, was exploring, wondering, questioning, and not taking the existing answer as a given. Now we are awash with knowledge and information. However, we're starting to realise that while big data helps us understand how we got here, it can't imagine new ideas or create the not yet. Curiosity is becoming mainstream, as Professor Francesca Gino persuasively argues in her 2018 Harvard Business Review article, The Business Case for Curiosity. Her research shows that it leads to higher performing, more adaptable firms, and she's not alone. So, where does curiosity come from? Or perhaps we should be asking, why do we lose our natural childhood curiosity? As anyone who spends time around young children will know, they are not short on questions. Children use their wondering, exploring, and questioning to make sense of a world that they are encountering for the first time. In their case, why is neither a factual nor a philosophical question, which is the reason our replies often completely fail to hit the mark. However, it takes time and energy to stay with their curiosity, and our educational system does a poor job of that. Children quickly perceive that having the right answer is valued more highly than curiosity and great questions. Over time, we lose our curiosity muscles and our confidence to look at the world differently. Rewards are given to those who are right, and our workplaces often complete the makeover with bureaucratic processes designed to ensure compliance and standardisation. This is what league tables are based on, and the incentive not to question is high. Against this backdrop, why are quiet disruptors more likely to have a higher curiosity quotient than many? I think it's because being quiet, disruptive, and value-driven leads to three interconnected characteristics. Deeper and broader thinking. Because quiet disruptors tend to stand back and observe and reflect, they probe further and tend to ask more questions. You would not characterize them as short-term, reactive, or superficial. Forward-looking. They are less likely to be defending an existing way of doing or seeing things. They are more ready to thoughtfully recognise failings and shortcomings and have the courage to do something about it. Passion-driven. They might not be ultra-expressive, but they care deeply and have an underlying drive to see improvements in things they're concerned about. They won't lightly accept the status quo if it could be better. What might this look like in everyday life? Where are their fresh eyes? Chapter 5. Questions are a gift. As a doctor, Atul Gawande was trained to understand how the human body works and recognise what it looks like when it's not functioning well. As a surgeon, he was trained to operate to save lives and prevent harm. As a writer, with a background in philosophy and politics, he developed the skill of asking questions. And this only scratches the surface of his activities, which also includes working with the World Health Organization and leading public health non-profit organizations across the globe. The thread that runs through much of his work is the intersection of failure and suffering. Why do people, especially clinicians, choose not to do something that could have led to a better outcome for their patients? This is a profound question, and one that walks into challenging territory. When he started to investigate why the outcomes for surgery were so varied, it touched a sore point, that of medical culture and the inability to challenge doctors. Not only were death rates variable, but also how long it took for evidence of good practice to be adopted universally. In some cases, this was up to 17 years. Why does not have a simple answer, but the solution of putting in place a simple surgical checklist that covers all the essential questions necessary to ensure effective intervention and good teamwork is a start. But that didn't make it easy. This checklist has reduced deaths in surgery by up to 45%, and it started with curiosity and asking questions. Questions are powerful, but not all questions are equal. The World Wide Web is the repository of more answers than we can begin to imagine. However, our capacity to frame good questions is becoming dulled by the helpfulness of search engines. Just start to type or use voice activation, and our requirements are immediately anticipated. We're not used to waiting, and we've become lazy. Powerful questions take time to frame and often require several iterations before use. These aren't the simple yes or no type of question, but those that take us deeper or broader. These are questions whose answers lead us to breakthrough insights or strip away non-essential details so that the conclusions are laid bare and demand a response. Einstein is reported to have said that if he only had an hour to solve a problem on which his life depended, he would take 55 minutes to frame the question. Why? Because in the process, the answer would become evident. Simon Sinek's work suggests there might be a hierarchy of questions, and Warren Berger's book, A More Beautiful Question, confirms it. Warren is a journalist by training and was curious about the quality of answers in his profession, tracing back to the kind of questions asked. He concludes that the high-ranking questions are, why? What if? How? All three, and especially the first two, connect with drivers of intent. We ask these questions when the answers are important to us at a level beyond knowing facts. They also act as a multiplier. When we've asked the question at one level, our curiosity leads us further and unlocks even more questions. For example, going deeper with successive whys until we find the core issue. The broadcaster and writer Krista Tippett never ceases to inspire me with her thoughtful and beautifully crafted questions shaped by her deep curiosity. The On Being Project includes an extraordinarily profound podcast, powerfully impacting both listeners and interviewees. Better questions. So why might quiet disruptors be more likely to ask better questions? Firstly, because they tend to be more thoughtful than reactive, they're likely to play with different questions in their heads to find the best fit before asking. This means they are likely to be more intentional and deliberate in their thinking. Therefore, don't expect them to come up with their best offering with no preparation. However, it's also because quiet disruptors are driven by their core values to change whatever they think is wrong. This feeds their courage to overcome the cultural bias of not challenging the status quo. To ask questions is to disrupt, because implicitly it says that things could be better, and that can feel messy and uncomfortable. Often, our culture is stacked against this kind of exchange. Not only do we rarely give time to frame questions well, but we also don't realise their value. We penalise those who ask, labelling them as troublemakers or time wasters. But the consequences of assuming that easy answers serve us well is already becoming problematic, with our political, social and organisational landscape littered with the results of short-term thinking. I wonder, when was the last time someone asked a really good question in your organisation or team? Thank you for listening to Quiet Disruptors. I hope it's inspired, encouraged, and even provoked you to become the change you want to see. If it has, then great. Please share it, buy the book, or post a review. It all helps. So, until we meet again, go gently and speak softly about the things that matter, because the world is waiting for you.